the book of Jude, chapter 1, and begin at verse number 6 today. Our people are listening on the internet. We don't have any email today because Dan, Tammy, and Anna are away in Michigan meeting their Tammy's mother and father. They went halfway from Iowa, and Dan and Tammy went halfway. So all we can do is call 856-261-9018. Give us a call, 856-261-9018. Give us a call, tell us that you're there. Questions and comments, we're glad to talk to you about it. All right, Jude chapter 1, let's begin reading verses 6, 7, and 8. Beginning at verse 6 together. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities without them, in great manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise the many, and speak evil of divinity. All right, so we have these verses here, starting with number 6. The angels, who are angels? And where do they come from?
They're messengers.
What is it?
They're messengers.
Yeah. Messengers. And how did they come here?
They're created
beings. Okay, who created them?
God.
Does the world around us believe in angels?
Yes.
Some do, some don't. But do they believe in biblical angels?
No.
Unsaved people usually don't. Well, the angels kept not their first estate. What is that referring to?
They left heaven.
They left heaven. Who led them out of heaven?
God.
Lucifer. God? Lucifer. Yeah. Who was Lucifer?
He was an angel.
He was a lead angel. And what does Lucifer mean in Latin?
Light bearer.
Lux is light, Ferris is the bear. Light bearer. Lucifer was a light bearer. He's called in the New Testament. What is one of his names? What is one of his names? Speaking of light.
Morning Star.
Well, he's called Morning Star, which is the name of Christ, so he's usurping that. He's not the Morning Star, the Lord Jesus. Speaking of light, what is
Satan's?
Angel of light. Is he light or darkness?
Dark.
Why is he called an angel of light?
Because he can transform himself
into an angel of light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is more dangerous for Christians, light or darkness?
Light.
Well, if he's an angel of light, if he's Satan, it's more dangerous. But if somebody is coming to you and he really is dark, would you be more afraid of him than if he came in the light? Which would you be more afraid of?
Afraid
of the darkness.
Yeah.
Why does Satan then come as an angel of light?
To deceive.
He's a liar from the word go, John 8:44. A liar is the father of lies. So these angels left their first estate. Now, in verse number 6, their own habitation. Who about the angels? What does God reserve for these angels that left their estate?
Everlasting change.
The judgment of that great day. What does everlasting mean?
Eternal.
And what would change involve?
Bound,
strong. They've been restrained. There's a restraint, there's a binding, it's change. Under darkness, the judgment of the great day. Will the angels one day be judged?
Yes.
Yes, the judgment of angels. That's one of the judgments in Scripture. The judgments of the saved, the great white, judgment of Christ, judgment of the lost, the great white throne, judgment of angels, judgment of the nations, very strict, judgment of Israel, judgment of angels is wrong. Yes, huh?
Angels are not demons, right?
Right. Well, no, that's right. Now, here's the thing. The New Testament, when our King James Bible accurately says, the devils, cast out the devils. That's exactly the literal letter for letter, diabolos. That's devils. Now, people say, well, there's only one devil. Let's change it into demons. No. Demons in some of the religions are gods. They're gods, they're deities, they're worship. Demons are worship, so we don't want to call them demons. Stick to the King James Bible. They're devils. Now somebody said, well, how are you going to think? I thought there's only one devil. There is one main devil. He's got a lot of assistants. Just like there's one, we don't believe in it, one Santa Claus, he's got a lot of assistants. We don't believe in it, but I mean, isn't that right? These red guys are all over the place, you see? So Satan has got some henchmen, some assistants. They're little devils. He's the big devil, he's a little devil. Just like Iraq says, that the United States is a big Satan and Israel's a little Satan, remember? So anyway, that's we don't agree with that, but anyway, go ahead, Bob.
I'm trying to figure out, the angels are fallen angels like Lucifer, and then they have to be serving in Western chains. They're chained. So what I'm trying to get at is, when people are demon possessed or when they're, it's not the angels. I'm trying to figure this out myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, see, the angelic beings, there's devils, and we call them demons, and demon possessed, we use that term and all. Those are fallen angels. The devils are fallen angels. All demons, fallen angels.
Where's the scripture for that?
Fallen angel?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out here.
Well,
if they're reserved, if they're an everlasting punishment, how can they get out and do such
a thing? Why not? What does the word reserve mean? That's the first thing. What does reserve mean?
That's the meaning it's the later they want to be.
All right. Reserve means
that they stay out for like 1,000 years and then
Then they'll be judged after that.
Yeah,
the judgment of angels, that's right.
Yeah.
So the angels are going to be sort of reserved. That must mean they're going to be right now sent in. When are the people of the Great White Throne Judgment finally sent to the final Gehenna, the final lake of fire?
After the millennial reign.
But then they'll be, but they're going to hell when they die, spirit and soul. They're going to the hell that is temporary hell, but the final great white, final Gehenna is the final hell. They've got a little hell and a big hell, that's the thing. But they go into very, very serious judgment when they die, spirit and soul leaves the body, and then at the final casting out, after the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium, to be cast into the lake of fire where the Satan and the devil are at that time. So these angels, I believe fallen angels are now what we call, people call them demons. They call them demons,
okay.
These devils.
Little devils. The main ones are the devils.
Yeah, that's right. And so in Africa, still, there's many, many devil-possessed, demon-possessed people. And probably in this country too, they're demon-possessed. In this country, not so many, but in places where the gospel's not preached, Satan isn't as strong. And, I remember an illustration someone told me recently that, a year or so ago, there was a couple that was a missionary in one of the African countries, whether it's Nigeria or Liberia, and they were told not to go into this bush called the devil bush, because there's all kinds of raging demonic devils in there, very serious. And this missionary said, well, I don't think the Lord's going to take me sparing myself, but he unadvisedly went into that bush, came out completely raving mad. So he didn't take the heed. You don't mess with demons and devils. Just don't mess with them. That's what he did. See? And so Lord Jesus cast out many devils in different people. And sometimes the disciples were able to cast out devils too. Now we don't believe today the gift of exorcism is with us. We don't believe the Roman Catholic priests should exorcise or exorcise get the demons out. That's a gift that was only in the New Testament time. Now we can pray, there's no question about that, but we can't have a devil possession people just cut them in their free. Prayer is the way to do it, but these demons or devils are reserved in everlasting chains. And everlasting means what?
Forever.
The Lord Jesus talked about hell as everlasting fire. What does that mean?
That's forever.
A lot of people just say, well, it's going to stop, they're going to get out. Harold Camping was that false teacher that taught that you can get out after a while. Can't get out. Everlasting. Now, in verse number 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, who were those places? Was it? They were destroyed. And where were they located, roughly?
Some people. In the Red Sea.
A lot of people think it's in the Sea of Galilee. Some of them think the Red Sea. There's a difference of opinion as to, not the Sea of Galilee, but some of the other Salt Sea. Yeah, way down. Where is that Salt Sea?
Right there.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Many people feel that's where Sodom and Gomorrah were, and they completely destroyed and wiped off the map. But now people have different views today on Sodom and Gomorrah, don't they? Remember the lesbian that was one of the writers and helpers and advisors for the New International Version? Remember her?
Well, talk.
That's right, Virginia Mollenkopf.
I interviewed her.
Now, my wife interviewed her several years ago. I sent her out to California. There's a meeting out there, and she didn't really much want to go. And she flew out by herself, and it was dark when she landed. She had to go and finally went to the place. She interviewed her. Now, what did you find out when you interviewed her? Was she happy to hear the interview? This was before she came out as a lesbian.
Yeah,
she was a secret lesbian.
She was, my husband told me she was a lesbian, but she wasn't going to ever come out.
Never come out, but we knew what she was. Go ahead.
I asked her right out, I said, "Are you a lesbian?" And she said it was a very rude question.
Very rude question, she said.
She didn't answer yes or no, but because she didn't answer no,
we knew the answer was yes. That's right.
She wasn't crazy.
Oh, she despised it.
Scary, I tell you.
Yeah, she was over.
I wasn't as brave as I am now.
You have a lot of braveness, huh? That's good.
Yeah, I've got a lot.
And she's a big woman too. Big, tall, husky. Just a big, well, like a football player.
She's not a football player.
No, but she's very big. And strong.
She's your size.
You know, she looks like a strong woman, see?
Yeah.
She was teaching at Shelton College. I was teaching there once a week and went up there and taught. Dr. McNair was the president of the school there, and I taught the English and speech and Greek, I guess. And she was one of the teachers there, see? And I knew that woman. And she finally, somebody knew who she was and kicked her out. She didn't teach him, but I was up there when she was a teacher herself. So, anyway.
He asked me, I said, well, if you're not a lesbian, why don't you dress a little bit more feminine? This is a nice dress. I said, yes, but why don't you make your hair prettier? It's cut like a boy. Why don't you curl it? And then after I wrote this up, I wrote an article. We used to have the Bible Today News Report then.
Yeah.
And I wrote it as my column. And she called me up, and I forget what she said. First she said she'd see me in court.
She threatened to sue her, see?
She said, I want you to know I have a permit now.
Good. She learned that from you.
She had a son. She'd been married.
Yeah.
What is her name?
Virginia Mollenkopf. Virginia Mollenkopf. Didn't you take that, honey?
Yes.
We got that on tape, that interview. She got it in writing. She wrote an article. So anybody wants it, it's it. Give me a call, 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. Give us a call, a question, or comment, Yvonne. Go ahead.
How do you know we can find it?
We can always find the tape. They're by number. They're by number. We can do it all right. All right, so Sodom and Gomorrah. She was, now, Sodom, the cities around in like manner. What would that mean, in like manner?
They were brimstone.
They were
the brimstone,
fire and brimstone came down. They were destroyed. So just like these angels that left their first estate, they're going to be reserved in judgment. So Sodom and Gomorrah was rained down. Before Sodom and Gomorrah were judged, did God tell anybody that it was going to be judged?
Yes.
Who did he tell?
Abraham.
And what did Abraham do when he found? Who was there that was a friend of Abraham? Who was in Sodom?
Lot.
What relationship was Lot to Abraham?
Nephew.
Nephew, all right. Now, when Abraham knew that God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, what did Abraham ask for the Lord?
He kept negotiating with God.
What is it?
He was negotiating with God.
Negotiating.
He kept pleading
with God, like, not to do it. And what did he say at the first? What did he say at the first request? What was it?
Was it 100?
Let's start with blessed, half 100. Yeah. If there's 50, what? If there's 50 people, what?
Righteous
people. What would be the case? Don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Did God agree?
Yes.
And then, what did Abraham say next? Went to 45, then he went to 30, and 20. Finally got to what, 10? And what was that?
No, I've forgotten.
Yeah, well, if it's easy to forget 50, then 45, you want to still be 40. 50, 45, I think it went to 40, then 30, and 20, and finally 10. And so it went down to these numbers, and what did God say if you get from 10 righteous people something?
He
would spare the city, would not destroy the city. Could he find 10?
No.
So how many did he find?
Four.
Okay, now, when God wanted to destroy Sodom, who did he send down there ahead of time?
Angels.
Some angels, a couple of angels. And then, what did the angels say to Lot, his wife, and his two daughters?
He said to get out.
Get out. It's going to be judged.
Yes.
And so, There were, now, there were two daughters, it says, who were married to husbands. The husbands didn't want to hear it. They just said it's crazy. We're not sure whether two daughters married those two husbands are separate and two daughters at home. We're not sure which. Different people have different views on it. But what we know is the two daughters that didn't have a husband, at least the two daughters, Lot and Lot's wife, four people. How many came all the way out?
Three.
What happened to the fourth?
His wife looked back and became a born soul.
What did God say about looking back?
Don't look back.
Why did suppose Mrs. Lot looked back?
Materialism of the city.
From materialism? What else?
Curiosity.
She had married daughters.
Many daughters were there. They're friends, probably. And when she looked back, what happened to her?
Pillar of salt.
Turned a pillar of salt. The bitumen, all the pitch in it, just... So Lot had no wife. Just a Lot and two daughters came up. So even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities round about them, in like manner, that is, being judged by the Lord, giving themselves over, what did they give themselves over to? In verse number 7.
Fornication.
What's the second thing?
Strange flesh.
Right now, see, fornication could be between man and a woman. Strange flesh, man and a man, woman and a woman. Mm-hmm. Homosexuality.
Unmarried.
That's right. They're fornication, unmarried, two unmarried people. But strange flesh, lesbianism for the two women, two men, homosexuality. Now, one of the things that Ms. Vinnie Malaplatt says is, we've got it all wrong. See, there's a reference in another portion of Scripture referring to the nations around Israel, north of them and south of them. And they called them by a name, Sodom, Gomorrah. In other words, it wasn't literal Sodom, but like Sodom, like Gomorrah. And it says something about they didn't take care of their friends or something. So the Jinn and Malachite, what is it?
Hospitality.
See, they were not hospitable. So the Jinn and Malachite takes that scripture, wrongly refers it to Sodom and Gomorrah in reality, the real one, says, see, that's the only sin. There's no homosexuality in Sodom. There's no fornication. She just completely wiped it off. So in other words, they justify sodomy. They justify homosexuality. What does our president think of sodomy?
It's okay.
It's fine. What does our president think of marriage between two women and two men?
It's fine.
Now, do we go along with the husband or go along with the president or go against him? What?
Against.
Well, what if they want to take our church and say because we're against them, want to put us in jail? Should we still be against them?
Yes.
It should be against sin no matter who is for it?
Yes, that's right.
See, somebody said, one of the relatives of a person that comes to our church here said that this person thinks we hate homosexuals. Well, it's not that we hate the homosexuals. We'd like them to change. We hate the homosexual sin. And it's hard. We want them to repent of that sin and get out of that thing, whether lesbians or homosexual males. But the people, we'd love to have them to come, but as long as they're in that status, we hate their actions. We've got to stay clear of them. Are they nice and sweet people generally, the homosexuals?
No.
They're mean, ugly, and boisterous, and murderous.
When?
Any of them.
Some of them are pretty nice.
Well, you get them, you cross them, you see them not so much. John?
In 1994, at Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco, one of the guys, Sheldon, one of the traditional guys, many Hamilton Square Baptist Churches, pastor there by a graduate of Bob Jones, I think Pastor Innes, and when the traditional values guy, Lou Sheldon, came, there were a lot of homosexuals there protesting in front of church. They were harassing the members as they were trying to get in, and this is back in 1994, where things weren't as bad as they are now.
Yes, that's right. So there, you take the homosexual parade, Christian. What month did our president, our homosexual president, I believe he's a homosexual, he's been in his Chicago place, in the bathhouses there in Chicago for years, everybody knows he's a homosexual. What month did our homosexual president designate for homosexuals?
June.
The month of June. Just right out of the blue. See, he had that, it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, June, to push the pride of the homosexual. Vicious, filthy, wicked. Now,
I just have a question. It's kind of funny, after destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's kind of wondered how the sin of homosexuality revived or became president of the world again.
Yes, well, you'd think that they would take note of that and leave it. I wonder how long before God's going to judge this nation because of a homosexual. It's all around us. And judge England and judge all the countries of the world that are pro-homosexual. Now, Africa, some of the African countries strongly against the homosexual. We used to have a rule in the military. Universal Court of Military Justice, UCMJ is what it's called. No homosexuals, no bestiality, no adultery, no fornication. Now they're making changes. Either it's already been changed, it's going to be changed. It's been changed already. Fornication is fine, adultery is fine, homosexuality is all right, and sex with beasts, bestialities are in our military. All because of this president. Wicked, wicked, homosexual Obama. And I'm opposed to that. He's, first of all, there's no, don't ask, don't tell. He abolished that. It's now perfectly free to be homosexual in the military. Those homosexuals attack more men in the military, hundreds and hundreds of men. And it's a horrible, filthy thing to demilitarize or demoralize and do something else of the military men in our military group. But Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves over to fornication, regardless of what Virginia Malaquat says one way or another. This is scripture. And going after strange flesh. Strange flesh. There's an email I sent to our email friends this morning on churches more and more pushing homosexuality. Churches. There's an interview with a female singer who's a lesbian. She's finally come out now. She's a lesbian. She's from England. If I send it to you, look at it, listen to it. You'll see it's a 14-minute interview praising homosexuality, saying no problem, everything's fine, lesbianism is wonderful. I turned into that at age 13 and so on. There's an interview with a pastor and on the same email. Click on that link and you'll see it. He's trying to say this is wrong, it's sin, trying to do a good job of it. She didn't change. But it's a sad situation. We're pushing and pushing, and some churches don't have anything against homosexuals. Let me ask you this question. In Bible Free Baptist Church, do you think it would be fine to have homosexuals attending? Yes or no? Lesbians attending, yes or no? See, listen, we would preach, if they listen right here, I would say sin, wickedness, and corruption. I don't think they stay here very long when they see that we preach against it. But see,
that's
this is serious. Excuse me, let me get this. Yes, Jacob, right? Jacob from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob, what you got?
All right, Pastor. In Luke 17:26, most people realize that the Matthew 25 is a sign that it was coming, but this also, and this is 17:26 of Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink and wedded wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink. They bought, they sold the land and built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, a great fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Thus, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man be revealed.
Okay, thank you, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob in Texas. Wave to him. Okay, thank you, Jacob. Everybody else, give us a question. Comment your question. Call us, 856-261-9018. We can't have emails today because Dan, Tammy and Anna are not with us. They're in Michigan with her mother-in-law. So, yes, this is scripture. It's very clear. Strange flesh is sinful. And they will be set forth as an example. An example of what, do you think, in verse number 7? Now, excuse me, you were saying something.
I think that they could let in church the homosexuals, but then they have to try to save them, I guess.
What was that?
They would have to try to be saved.
Yes, to be saved. Yeah, if they come to church, they have to be saved and repent and change. Now, this pastor that interviewed this lady that I sent the emails out to, all of you, if you got the emails, you sent it. The pastor said, you should repent of your sin. You should repent of this. He said, I was a drug person. I was with alcohol, with drugs, and various other things. And the Lord convicted me that I was saved out of that, and I changed. That was a terrible thing. Now, you've got the same terrible thing of lesbianism. God can take you out of it, too. I don't want to be out of it. I like it. I want it. just absolutely rebellious. If the homosexual lesbians come to our church and we speak out against it as a sin, if they accept it as sin and change, fine. But if they oppose it and angry and bitter, I don't think they want to be here. Would you? I would not want to be here. Anyway, so now, some people interpret that as being hatred to the people. The people, but the sin that they have, I despise that sin. All sin I despise. People that have it, as long as we despise their actions, we'd like to get them straightened out, but if they don't want to straighten out, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. It says in 2 Corinthians 6, and we've got to be separated from these things. But we have in some big churches, homosexuals, they're right there, and the pastor's afraid to death to say anything against it. It's terrible. Someone told me just today, I won't mention the name, but there was a cross-dresser in one of the big churches, right here close by, within 45 minutes away from us. And the cross-dresser is in there. They couldn't go to a girl's restroom or a boy's restroom. There's a man dressed like a woman, see? I tell you, what do you think they'd be like in our church here? What would the pastor say about that?
Do you think I'd go upstairs?
What's that?
Go to the bathroom downstairs.
I would say, either a man or a woman, I want to have a switch hitter. Yeah, go ahead, man.
You might not know him.
Well, you can usually tell.
He would pray that they would be convicted of the Holy Spirit.
He'd be hoping to pray to become convicted of the Holy Spirit, be saved, born again, and get out of that nonsense. It's nonsense. It's foolishness.
Well, one time when our church was younger, I know of a homosexual attainer. I didn't know until afterwards.
Uh-huh.
He was Albert. He's one of an anesthesiologist or something.
Anesthesiologist, yes, he was.
With him, there had been somebody died or something. He was frightened. But I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Silver Twenties, I talked to him. He did have sort of like a purse, I should have. He was getting a new house, and I was trying to talk to him about it. I didn't know. And then a long time later, several months later, Albert told me that man died. And I said, why? He choked on popcorn. He couldn't get the phone right. He choked and he died. He was found dead in his house.
I know Albert was trying to witness to him and believe in the Lord. He brought him here and we preached the good God. We didn't know what he was.
You know, at the time,
we just taught the Bible.
I didn't know.
He didn't stay too long, but
he came one time.
Strange, flash an example.
But they need to be saved.
Oh yes, they need to be saved, but the point of it is if they don't want any part of salvation.
Right.
Remember these parades they have over there in San Francisco and all these other places, homosexual parades, gay parades?
Yes.
Dressed, some of them naked and having sex right on the caravans. Mm-hmm. Filthy, rotten, disgusting.
Police
don't do a thing about it. No, they're afraid to death of the homosexual. They've got strong lobbies. Strong lobbies.
Can I have a stop and give you a gun?
What's that, Doug?
I can have a stop. Give me a gun. I'll point it.
Fire
several bullets in the air, something.
In the air, something. Okay.
We can't do that.
Bill's joking about that gun. Mark, go ahead. You lost it, eh? Senior moment. Look him back. All right. He'll come back. All right. So, an example, serving the vengeance of eternal fire. Vengeance means what?
Judgment.
Who is to take vengeance?
God
himself. Remember it says, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And sometimes we want to be vengeful and so on, but let the Lord take care of some of these things. No question about that. Vengeance of eternal fire. What would that mean? What's that mean?
Hell. They're going to end up there.
End up there in eternal fire. And so is fire real?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a man named, what's his name, honey? He's written that article saying fire is really fire. John or Ralph?
No,
it's somebody else. He's written papers. I think he's died. He's dead now, but he wrote a whole paper saying that this was a figure of speech, fire. Figure of speech. Like the Lord Jesus, I am a way of the bread of life. This is just a figure. Fire, the Lord Jesus talks about it over and over and over and over. And that man was the rich man Elijah, remember in Luke chapter 16. What did that man say to his father? Get me out of here, why? I'm tormented in what? His frame.
Thirsty.
Dave Hunt, that's what Dave Hunt wrote that paper. Yeah, Dave Hunt, thank you, honey. He's the one that wrote this whole paper trying to rationalize no fire. No fire, but this is horrible. That's what Billy Graham said in 1950s. I wrote a PhD dissertation on the evangelistic speaking of Billy Graham at Purdue University. At first I was favorable, but later I changed. In quoting him, in 1950s, 51, 2, 3, he said, there's no fire in hell, it's just discipline, so you just take the fire. All these kind of people, this is eternal. Find out how long is this fire in hell?
Forever.
Eternal means what?
Forever.
If you say the word eternal life, what does that mean?
Forever.
Eternal life. Those that are generally saved have eternal life. And so this is eternal fire. So does the Lord think a lot very highly about Sodom and Gomorrah and their sins?
No.
The very judgment of them, the fiery judgment of them, shows God is totally opposed to this type of filthy sin. And I don't know when our nation is going to get back on the morality of the scriptures. I guess never. Getting worse and worse and worse. Never. And I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to hold back for judging this filthiness of our leaders. And God pushing down the pastors and churches, they're all going along with it, see? Remember, the D.O.M. What's his name? D.O.M. Defense of Marriage Act. D.O.M.A. The Defense of Marriage Act. First, Bill. I mean, Paul.
Well, I mean, first of all, after this the study, I want to give you my new email address that I have.
Okay.
First of all, number two. Why don't we, speaking for myself, but also we as American citizens, why do we stand up to President Obama saying to him that this is wrong, homosexuality is wrong, this is sin? Why don't we, as citizens, American citizens, do that?
Good thing. Well, we should do it. American citizens should do it, petition the guy and do the whole thing. Yes, John?
It's kind of remarkable that it was Bill Clinton who signed the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yes. Bill Clinton. Now what does he think of marriage? Does he agree with the Defense of Marriage Act anymore?
Bill Clinton? He does, yes.
No. He's opposed to it. And what about his wife? Hillary. What does she think about
it? She's opposed to it?
No, she's opposed. She's all for homosexual marriage.
Anything
is okay. So these people are no longer... Now, Defense of Marriage Act is an act of Congress, House and Senate. What should the president do with all acts that the House and Senate passes?
Enforce them.
He should enforce them. All kinds of things. He doesn't enforce them. For them. Yes. Doma. Okay. What's it?
There are states that did have that as a public push, and they voted and homosexuality, and they voted against it. The whole state, but then a judge comes along and
wipes it out.
Disqualifies it.
Yeah. See, there again, in our Constitution, United States of America, we have so-called separate House and Senate, that's Congress, the judges and Senate, and then the executive. We got these different separations of these areas. Not with Obama. He's supposed to enforce all the laws. He doesn't. Just the ones he likes. And yet, Congress is supposed to make all the laws. They don't, the Senate doesn't want to make anything because he doesn't let anything go through. So Obama makes all the laws and forces somebody like, it's a horrible mixed up mess. And we're in serious trouble. I don't know how much longer our nation's going to be a nation. I'm getting off the subject, but anyway, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's one thing that our nation is opposed to the Bible, the morality of it. Suffering, vengeance. Then in verse number 8, what does God call these false teachers?
Filthy dreamer.
Now, it says likewise. What is that referring back to? You think? Likewise. Probably Sodom and Gomorrah. So you might even, if it's likewise, you might even apply Sodom and Gomorrah and their sins as filthy dreamers as well. All right? I mean, likewise, it's similar. What's Avon?
No,
that's clear. Oh, okay. I'll not clear that throat. All right. So, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. What does that mean to defile the flesh? Does the homosexual, male homosexuals defile their flesh by their actions?
Yes, ma'am.
They sure do. What diseases do they get very simply and very easily?
AIDS.
AIDS. What does AIDS do to a person after a while?
Destroys the immune system.
Destroys the immune system and eventually they die. The total age of homosexual males is much less than non-homosexual males. Very, very low. Early age, they die. I don't know about the women, but the statistics on that very clearly defile the flesh. We've got a fellow at Fox News, homosexual Fox News. He wanted to come out. They said, don't come out, but everybody knows who he is. What's his name?
Shepard
Smith. Mm-hmm. Shepard Smith. Homosexual. He looked like homosexual even before anybody talked about him. He was a funny-looking guy. He made a queer-looking fella. He looks funny. He looks like a queer to me even looking at him. Now he wanted to come out publicly. He didn't want to come publicly, but privately, everybody knows who it is. Shep Smith. So anyway, what is that? Poison news, man, so a different thing. But anyhow, defile the flesh. And what else is true of these? Well, he got sick all of a sudden. I don't know whether he's got AIDS or whatever, but he's back all right now. But he looked very thin. He was really ready to almost die. He looked, he looked very thin, but now he seems to be all right. So anyhow, what does this mean in verse number despise dominion? What does that mean? These people despise dominion.
They don't like the word of God.
Like the word of God? Let's say that.
Despise government.
By government. What does dominion mean?
Federal or authority over authority.
Well, dignitaries, dominion. It means somebody that's over them that's trying to impress upon them to do something, right? We're either telling them to do this or do that.
They're rebellious.
Rebellious against anybody telling them what to do, despising dominion and authority over them, I believe is what it is. So they despise dominion. Now, what's the next thing about these homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 8? What does it mean to speak evil sometimes?
Say false things.
False things, mean? Lying about them? The dignities. Who are some of the dignities that maybe they're referring to?
Kings, emperors.
Could be kings, could be emperors.
I think it's anybody who holds to the word of God.
Maybe. Holds the word of God. They'd be dignities, wouldn't they? Bible believing in Christians and pastors and people who love the Lord. They speak evil of them. I remember Dr. Bennett, by the way, questions? No, we can't do questions. Call us if you wish, 856-261-9018, 856-261-9018. Call us. It was a comment or question. Yvonne?
I gave you one definition of dominion.
Uh-oh. Fess up.
Authority with consent.
What is it?
Dominion, despise dominion with you.
View authority with contempt. That's good. That's in the defined tense by the footnotes. Read it again. I couldn't hear.
Dignitaries, person holding a high and dignified position.
Now let me ask you this. What if a dignitary is indignant? What does that mean? What if a dignitary is indignant? What is it?
Angry.
What is it?
He's being dishonorable.
Dishonorable to his office. Now, this is sad, though. You know, these people, House and Senate, different things, and executive and judicial, the whole governmental situation. Some of those fellows that are there, strange. Starting with our president. Does he ever lie to us?
Over and over.
If you like your health plan, you can keep it. Like your doctor, you keep it. Bill, is that true or false?
Oh, false.
This bill here.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Yeah. Is that true or false? If you like your health plan, you can keep it.
No.
Okay. Bill 1 and Bill 2. We got two bills now. Okay.
Obama wouldn't lie.
What is that?
Obama wouldn't lie.
Oh, no, of course not.
Only when he moves his lips.
Only when he moves his lips. Exactly. You got it. But it's a sad thing. Now, one of the people wrote me an email last week. Because, you know, last Sunday morning we talked about proper attitude while we're being suffering. But Barbara had to agree with something. And I mentioned a number of quotations, you know, different people, different ones, because it spells out certain things that are wrong and certain evil things, like lying. And Christians should not go to the line. It should be this. And I illustrated that with our governmental officials, whether it's the House, the Senate, whether it's the President, whether it's the judicial. And this brother wrote me and said, you should just stick to the Bible and not even get illustrations by this. But the point of it is, freedom is everybody's business. Dr. McIntyre, here in Collinsville, New Jersey, for many years, used to quote that every single morning on his broadcast. When his Navy chaplain and I could do that, I listened to him every single morning. So freedom is everybody's business. Your business, my business, and the church's business. The man who will not use his freedom to defend his freedom does not deserve his freedom. I believe it. So anyhow, we illustrate these. He said he's sick to the Bible. I thought he's going to leave us for sure. No, he's still back. He's all right, friendly. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Many pastors spoke against England in colonial times before the Revolution. And many of those pastors became officers in the Continental Army.
Yes.
Served under George Washington. And it's mainly because of those pastors who spoke against England that we are a free country today.
Yes.
Those pastors have been silent, like so many people are saying that the pastors of today should be, then we would still be part of England.
That's right. Many, many pastors, Baptist pastors, other pastors, joined the Continental Army, you're right, and won that Revolutionary War. Very, very important. So we've got to be able to use our freedom. And so the speaking evil of dignities. We read 6, 7, 8. Let's read 9, 10, and 11 next. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, is disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, and brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. All right, then, verse number 9. Michael the archangel. What is an archangel? What does that mean, archangel?
The highest of angelic rank.
That's right. Arch means lead, an angel, the lead angel. Archangel is the beginning, the lead one. The lead angel, same as Michael. When contending, what does contending mean?
Fighting.
Who is he contending with?
The devil.
All right, what was the subject of his contention?
Moses' body.
Now, what happened to Moses' body? Why was it? Why did he die so soon? Did he go into the promised land in the body? No. Was he in the promised land in the Lord Jesus' time?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. How?
The transfiguration.
Transfiguration. Remember, who are the three? The Lord Jesus was there. Who else?
Moses
and Elijah. So Moses finally got into the promised land in his bodily transfiguration, but not his body in those days. Now, why didn't he get there?
Because he struck the rock.
Because of his sin. He struck the rock. Struck the rock twice. What did God tell him to do?
Speak
to the rock. Is there a difference between speaking and striking?
Yes,
there is. What else did he say? What did he say when he struck the rock twice, angry? What did he say? Must I bring this water into you people? Aaron was right with him. And Aaron was right in that thing. When God judged Moses and said, you're not going to bring my people into the promised land, he included Aaron. Aaron, you're not going to come in either. Because Aaron was right with Moses, his brother, at that time, was smiting the rock twice. Instead of speaking to him. So he didn't go into the land. Where did God tell him to go?
Up
to the mountain. And what did God say he's going to do up that mountain?
He's
going to die of it. What's that?
Did he say he's going to shout on the promised land?
Well, you can see it. Everybody can see it. But then afterwards, what's going to do? He's going to die. See the problem? But he goes, didn't commit it, go up and die. Now, was there anybody else, as far as we know, beside Moses up there on that mountain?
No.
As far as we know, no human being. So, I don't know how he got buried. Maybe the Lord buried him. But there's a body of Moses. This is a fight, the battle between Michael the archangel and Satan. Maybe Satan had something to do with the body. Where it was? Maybe buried or no buried. Maybe it was just skin and bones up there just lying out there in the open, as some of the people are lying out even today. So Michael Egger, when contending with the devil, what was true? He disputed about the body of Moses. What was his attitude, Michael the Archangel's attitude towards the devil? What does it mean, durst? Now, what does durst mean?
That he didn't dare.
Not bring against him. Who is him, do you think?
Lucifer.
Could be Lucifer, the old Satan himself. A railing, actually, what does railing mean?
Bitter reproach.
Railing. But said, what did he say?
The Lord
rebuked you. In other words, the lead angel was going to contend with the devil, just let the Lord rebuke you. So there was a dispute about the body. I don't know what the dispute was, doesn't say. But there's something about, what are we going to do with that body? Maybe Satan wanted to cremate it, I don't know. I said no. But anyway, it was a dispute. He said the Lord judged, the Lord rebuked me. That's what happened. Then verse number 10. These, who's the these refer back to, you think?
False teachers.
Probably false teachers. And possibly those that are filthy dreamers and spy take dominion and so on. Could be the Sodom and Gomorrah people. The angels kept out their own say, these speak evil of those things they know not. What does that mean? How can you speak evil of things you do not know?
Well, they're not saved.
Not saved.
So they speak against salvation, against Jesus.
All right. See, some people know nothing about the Bible. Do they speak evil of the Bible?
Yes.
Quite often they do, don't they? But the things they know not, it's a sad thing. We at least should know what we're talking about. But these people do not. These people didn't know anything about it, but they spoke evil of the same thing, the scriptures. And that's what they do today. But what they know naturally, what would that mean? What they know naturally.
The flesh?
The lust of the flesh. And just in their own minds, the new scriptures, they speak only what they know naturally. Now, in schools, whether it's grade school or elementary school or high school or college or seminary, what usually now is the rule about Bibles and Bible teaching.
Don't talk about it.
It's out. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Now, years ago, that was possible. My high school janitor, Uncle Charlie Allen, we called him, would write scripture verses in a case every time, once a year, on a certain day. Scripture verses, put Bibles right there, and people could see it. Not anymore. Can't do that anymore. He's the one that led me to Christ, our high school janitor. Everyone passed the fifth grade. Talked to me and he led me to the Lord. So, no more. He can't do it. Was it?
It's 1963 Supreme Court decision that the Bible was reading out of public schools.
That's right, 63. Bible reading no longer possible. That's right.
Prayer was kicked out,
that's right. Prayer and Bible reading now no longer in the schools. But you can teach homosexuality, you can teach all kinds of false things, teach socialism and communism in the school. This core curriculum is a wicked, wicked, satanic system forced upon by the federal government. States used to have states' rights, no longer. Whatever the government says, that's it. Yeah, Bill.
Just to show you what hypocrites we got in Congress, they have Bible reading and prayer there. They're allowed to do it, but they won't allow us.
Yeah.
Don't make it fair.
That's right. Now, what Lois was saying, that some states have forbidden homosexual marriages, which they ought to. States' rights should prevail. But they voted for it, and that's where it should be. The judge overrules, said you can't do it. This is horrible. It's not constitutional.
And the judge.
What is that?
And the judge.
He's not constitutional.
But New Jersey just approved homosexual
marriage. That's right. And our mayor, right here, Mayor of Collinsworth, married one of the first homosexuals.
He did 50 marriages.
What is that?
He did 50.
50 of them. Okay, our marriage was fine. You know that? A judge had 50 marriages. I didn't know that meant. So, what they know not, they notice, as brute beasts. What is a brute beast? Is that name calling? Is that politically correct to call somebody a brute beast?
Not
politically correct. But is it scripture?
Yeah.
They call them, these people, brute beasts. Who are these people talking about today?
Homosexual.
Probably homosexual. Probably all the things you talked about in verses before. What is a brute beast? And what's a beast versus a brute beast? Any difference?
Someone that could do you harm.
Do harm to you? All right. Is that a pleasant thing to call somebody?
No.
If a person's a person, is he really literally a beast?
No.
But figuratively, if he acts like a beast, maybe. And people that act bestial like beasts, God calls brute beasts. I tell you, some animals don't act as bad as some human beings, am I right? Animals are kind and fine, a dog and a cat and playful. And it's a terrible thing. You look at all those people, those Islamic ISIS people over in the Middle East, cutting off heads, putting them on stakes, little children, cutting in half little children, hundreds of thousands murdering just because they won't go to their particular... What is that?
The hide behind evil, that black
code. Yeah, that's the hide behind evil. They put the... Oh, here's another call. Finally, we got two calls today. Not doing too well. Hi, Dan and Lori Agee, right here from Texas.
Hey, Pastor Wave, a big Texas wave to everyone there, and thank you for your prayers, and God is going to be good in this surgery tomorrow. But listen, we're listening, and it caused us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. And chapter 34, verse 1 says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan." And then it goes on down and says, of course, he showed him the land. But then in verse 5, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day." Pastor, would that be God that buried him?
Yes, you got it. Thank you. Thank you for refreshing
your
memory. Lord bless us.
Yes, sir.
Let's have a Texas wave for Texas. Lori and Dan Agee, way over Texas, near the Dallas, Texas area. Thank you very much, Lori and Dan. Appreciate that. Pray for Lori. Surgery tomorrow, 12 noon, on her ear. Growth in the ear. We don't know whether it's cancerous or non-cancerous, but it's going to be a fairly long surgery, a couple hour surgery, so please pray for them. They're members of our church way over in Texas, and they're very faithful and help us and listening to us in all the different services. All right, we're in verse number 10. Brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. What are those things you think refer to?
Homosexuality.
Probably homosexuality, all these evil things, speaking evil dignitaries and so on. Corrupt themselves. What does it mean, corrupt?
Destroy.
Could be destroyed. What else?
Weaken.
Weaken. What else? What happens to the body once it's left after death?
Decay.
What's another word for decay? Corruption. That's right, it's corrupt. Just like a dead body. Corrupt themselves. What is the smell of dead bodies?
Terrible.
We had a lady over here across the street. She had 50 or 100 cats. She died. She thought cats were going to heaven. We don't agree with that. We told her so. She died. She left all her cats there with all the filthy stuff and so on. But it's a terrible, terrible thing. And they had a long, long time trying to clean up that house before new people could buy it and move in. Because of this terrible, terrible stench of dead cats and everything else that was popped there. But these people corrupt themselves and smell to high heaven. That's what this corruption is. Will save people's bodies who are buried in the graves. Stay in corruption if they're born again saved?
No.
What's going to happen to those bodies?
Resurrection.
What's going to get the time? What do you call the bodies once they're out of there? Corruption anymore?
No.
What's it called?
Incorruption.
Incorruption. Now, if Lord Jesus should come today, tomorrow, while we're still living, what are our bodies called today?
It begins
with M.
Mortal.
What does mortal mean? Subject to death. What is a mortician?
Somebody who prepares
your body for death and buries people. My uncle was a mortician. Like my cousin, Bill Yachtsheimer, same name, Bill, was it? Bill Yachtsheimer? Bob Yachtsheimer. He one time wanted to scare me. was a little boy, I don't know how old I was, 10 or 11. He took me into Uncle's mortuary, and there was a dead body right there. Opened that thing up, and made it look at the scared mortician. Anyway, our mortal bodies, are we going to stay mortal and subject to death?
No,
we're saved and born again?
We're
going to change into immortality. What does immortality mean? Not subject to death. Mortal, subject to immortality. Not any longer subject to death. What type of bodies will a saved born again Christian be when they reach immortality? What kind will that be?
Glorified.
Glorified. And any similarities with anybody else?
Like
Adam and Eve before the fall.
Well, better than that.
Like Christ.
Be like Christ. Be made like unto Christ. So this would be a tremendous thing. Yes, Bill.
I thought before the fall, the bodies that Adam and Eve had were as good as what we're going to have in heaven.
Is that true? Were Adam and Eve's bodies corruptible or incorruptible? Were they mortal or immortal? Adam and Eve's body. No, but were they mortal or immortal?
Mortal.
Did they die?
Yes.
What caused them to die physically?
Sin.
What did God tell them?
Sin.
What if they did what? They tried that.
They
threw the tree in the middle of the garden,
through
the knowledge of good and evil. And the day thou what? Eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, our bodies like Adam and Eve's body?
The pastor said that before the fall, their bodies were immortal, that they were created to live forever here on earth as long as they didn't sin.
Somebody said that?
Yeah.
Well, if they're immortal, they should have stayed immortal.
Yeah.
See, immortal means not subject to death.
Yeah.
No, see, Adam and Eve had, there were bodies that were, at that point, they had not sinned yet before they sinned. They were righteous. They were not perfect. They were righteous. But once they sinned, the whole thing changed. Our bodies be made like unto the Lord Jesus' body. It says in the book of Philippians, who shall change this vile body, that body subject to death, like unto his glorious body, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's in 1 John. So we'll have glorified bodies like the Lord Jesus Christ. And does that mean that we're turning into gods?
No.
Some religions teach that, don't they? Turning into gods. It's, I think, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I think some of the Mormons, I think. In fact, I think maybe these people are killing people. They say kill more people and you'll have more wives and everything else and sort of become gods. I don't know about their theology in the book of the Quran. But these people were corrupt themselves. Now they that do evil, do they consider themselves corrupt?
No.
No, they think everything's fine, see? There's no problem. There's no conscience about it. They just go right ahead and live any way they want. Then in verse number, we read 11, let's see, 9, 10, we read 11, didn't we? Yeah, we read 11. Woe unto them. What's woe mean?
Judgment.
What? Anything else?
Stop and think about it.
Serious of God.
Whoa.
That's right. Woe, in other words, there's something.
Warning.
That's right. It's a warning. In Matthew 23, how many woes did the Lord Jesus speak out against the Pharisees and hypocrites? I mentioned that this morning. Were you listening? I said two different names, two different woes. What were the two I mentioned? How many woes in Matthew 23? I quoted one of the woes, quite a sepulcher.
Nine.
Nine? That's close. I said seven or eight. I think the total is eight. I said seven or eight just to be cautious. I think it's eight. When the Lord Jesus looked right at those Pharisees and said, whoa, 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 eight times, was that good or was that bad? It was bad for them. That were a bad thing. They were not right. And so this is woe unto them. Filled with woe and aggravation and disgust and terrible things. Who's the them referred back to, do you think? Who's the them referred back to in verse number 11? Woe unto them.
The homosexuals.
Probably homosexuals and these evil people, brute beasts and other things, corrupting themselves. They have gone the way of Cain. What does that mean?
They have sinned.
sin, all right?
Murderers.
Who was the father and mother of Cain?
Adam
and Eve. And what other sons can you think of their names? They had other many sons, but what are some of the ones that you know?
Abel.
And Seth. And Seth, all right? Those are at least three we know. What happened to Abel?
Abel was killed.
Who killed him?
His brother.
Cain. Why did Cain murder his brother?
He was jealous of his superior offering.
What kind of offering did Abel bring?
Fruits.
Was it? Abel brought fruits?
No, he brought
lamb. He brought lamb from the flock. He was a keeper of sheep.
Excuse me, Doug, he had favor from God?
Yes, he had favor from the Lord. What do you think the Lord told him offerings were to be? What do you think the Lord told him to bring? Probably the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and so on. And what did Cain offer? What was his offering?
Fruit
of the land. Who was God pleased with? Which offering?
Abel's.
Why? The blood was offered, sin's innocent blood, looking forward to Calvary, looking forward to the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. What was Cain's reaction when the Lord was displeased with his offering? He was angry, he was jealous. Somebody's at the front door, I don't know who it is. No, Bill's going to go. Bill's going to go. Okay. He's a little bit late. He started at 1:30, but maybe it's just we'll see. Oh, I think it's the cat. Man. The wife is sleeping. He's going to bring something. Maybe it's a delivery man. Maybe he's delivering now. Okay. So Cain was angry, and because of his anger, what did he do to Abel?
Killed him.
Killed his brother. So when somebody's gone the way of Cain, what does that involve? Probably anger, probably killing and murder and so on. Ran greedily at the error of Balaam. What was Balaam's error?
He went after money.
He went after money. He was told to go to what place and do what?